Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is Both Kinds of Sports, where we cover and analyze the NFL and the NFL offseason.
Yeah, I would like to point out that if you are a fan of Tordai Talking Football, most weeks we do a big, fresh, fat episode of both types of sports. It's available on iTunes. You can go there and subscribe. It is FREE. So pleased to be doing that. Our guest this week, Ryan O'Halloran, our old buddy from the Buffalo News. Talked to him about the Bills, talked to him about Tua Tagovailoa, talked to him about a whole plethora of pinatas, including why I think NFL setting up Jim Harbaugh for success in his first year out of Los Angeles. And Tori also will point out, when we get into this, if Jim Harbaugh decides to take the job in Minnesota or Houston or Jacksonville, you think the NFL is as invested in his success as they are at him taking one of those Los Angeles franchises, even winning a Super Bowl, having one of the best coaches in the league, doesn't seem to have been able to make a dent market share-wise?
It's not even close. Your top three market needs to have a good team in it.
I think that's what it is, and I think they're invested in it, and I think they're going to have two good teams next year, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain this to my wife in the car about zigging when other people zag. And it's like Harbaugh, by playing the brand of football, he doesn't have to do anything to zag. Because everyone else is going five wide. They're trying to go short passes. They're trying to hire a 22-year-old offensive coordinator as their head coach. He's going to line up and beat the fuck out of you for four quarters on both sides of the football and win a championship. And no one else is really doing that. The only other guy that was kind of doing it was Mike Vrabel. And we saw what happened to him. He got ran out of town on a rail.
Yeah. The Chargers system, it works out for them. They've got now three first-round draft picks at the cornerstone positions on the offensive line. They're going to try to beat the hell out of teams.
And they got a short white wide receiver, so they're going to be getting a lot of Wes Welker comparisons. Yeah. So look forward to it. Running back David Johnson, Tor, might come to you as a surprise. He's retired. The reason why that might be a surprise is he hasn't played since 2022. I guess he held out all hope last season that he would at least get some sniffs as running back started to go downhill. He did not. He is now calling it quits. Of course, he was drafted by the Cardinals. Unfortunately, what he probably will most be remembered for is that fleecing of the DeAndre Hopkins trade when we didn't know what the fuck the Texans. You remember that era of Texans football?
The dark era.
Who knew what they were doing? Not his fault, of course, and he put together some monster seasons. He actually played eight seasons after being drafted 86th overall in 2015. He was a Pro Bowler. Finished his career with 1,007 carries, 4,071 runs, 39 touchdowns. He also caught 277 passes for 2,805 yards and 18 touchdowns. And, Tor, this is a weird era we're in for football. You know, fantasy football, I take it with a grain of salt. I enjoy playing it, but I really don't know that it's healthy for the sport. But there are guys that will be burned into your memory for legends if you had them when they were at the height of their powers.
Yeah.
And if you had David Johnson, one of his two fucking killer years, you won your league. He's catching touchdowns. He's rushing for touchdowns. He's going for a buck 80.
It was insane. It was an insane time where it was, oh, my God, wait, what do you mean Ricky has this dude? How did he get him? And then, oh, you won the league.
Out of nowhere. I remember picking him up off of fucking waivers and just having him on my bench and looking down one day and being like, he had 29 points last week? It's one of those, so I'll always be indebted to the guy. It's sad about running backs, man. It really is, because running back, I swear to God, Tor, it's my favorite position. All the guys that I always looked up to, Christian Okoye's, Walter Payton's, Gale Sayers, all Jim Brown's. Like, all the guys you watch, like, God, that's a fucking football player right there. It's over in the blink of an eye. And if you've got one that's able to keep it going for 5 or 6 years, like a LaDainian Tomlinson, it's just so rare at this point. Because also, even if they get, think about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was, you know, a guy that could do it all, switchblade type of Leatherman running back. He's sitting there now without a job. He could be David Johnson next year.
Yeah, I'm taking calls. Okay. It's just about done.
He's a year removed from being one of the best backs in the league. That's why I'm interested to see what Aaron Jones is going to do. All these guys that kind of got moved around this offseason. Joe Mixon, like, see if they can go someplace else and rekindle that same chemistry.
2016, David Johnson had 20 touchdowns. He had Carson Palmer as his quarterback.
It was such a fun time.
It was a crazy-ass team.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, that's another guy. Like, I'll be loyal to him forever because I had him on the fucking – I drafted him, like, in the eighth round, and he had 11 touchdowns 1 year.
I was as big in the camp of hating Tom Brady as I've ever been, and then I had him on on my fantasy team 1 year, and then
I flipped up. Dickhead, you're not listening to –
I know.
But I'm the greatest football player of all time.
I know, but the fantasy, it made me like, oh, all right, look what he did for me.
I think I've only won my league. I've had it for like 20 years. I think I've only won it twice. One of the years, I had Amon Green and Sean Alexander on the same fucking team.
What was it, 06?
It was whenever it mattered.
Because Alexander was on the cover in 07.
No, wait, nobody. I won every game. Because both these guys are going for 30 points today. You'll never forget those guys. I'll go into the dirt and be like, oh, God, you remember Amon Green? I've never seen a running back like that. He was the guy that was supplanting Dorsey Levens, and I was a big Dorsey Levens mark because that's back when, you know, Brett Favre was winning the Super Bowl with the Packers. Oh, boy. So safe travels and clear skies to David Johnson. May you all right, Fish. He's not dead, I suppose.
Congrats to the Cardinals for, I guess, trading him for DeAndre Hopkins. How savvy of you.
He had a little success.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
One of the best Hail Marys of all time.
Yep.
Dan Patrick caught my eye last week when discussing the NFL schedule.
Is he in a swimsuit?
No, that would have been nice.
He's wearing a pair of board shorts. Caught Tor's eye.
Patrick said, that's not an accident when referring to the Buffalo Bills-Kansas City Chiefs game scheduled in Orchard Park. What is additionally scheduled is that lady's concert in the closest Canada city.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. It's
either
Quebec or Toronto. Whatever's the closest. I think it might be Toronto. Right by Buffalo. How did it line up, NFL? Are you making concessions so she can come to the game and you have another Bills Chiefs with her in the booth?
I wish somebody would blow the roof off that.
And good for Dan Patrick for saying that's not an accident.
Well, good for one of his researchers or producers for feeding him that, Tori.
That's a great point.
You've been a producer for a while. The people you work for are not smart. Not saying Dan Patrick's not smart. I'm a fan of his. But I don't mind the gerrymandering. I don't mind. I'll say it again. The old age-old cliche is the NFL doesn't control who they play. They control when they play. This is entertainment. They're putting on a show. I want to see Saquon Barkley play in New York as soon as possible. I want to see Aaron Rodgers go up against fill in the blank. I want to see Aaron Rodgers early, Russell Wilson early with their new teams because they ain't making it 17 games. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, they decided to put, you know, Arthur Smith versus old team week one.
Yeah, because you got to know when and if. So I understand that. But I find it embarrassing the NFL bent the knee as much as they did to Taylor Swift last year. If they are actually looking at this and saying, yeah, she's going to be there anyway, so let's just send that. Go fuck yourself.
This is when I'm talking to female family members, girlfriends, and they're like, oh, you want to punish her for being there? No, I don't. You should be able to go to a football game. This is what I'm talking about. This is the stuff that they don't see that is impactful.
I want to punish the conscious decision from whoever is telling the cameraman what to shoot and say, keep two cameras trained on the box. So that we can see her every time she's jumping up and down or doing that. And so, do you remember that dance she was doing and the fucking doing this shit? And we're like, Buffalo, please put an end to this misery. Please help us get away from whatever this is. Oh, the good thing is that even Taylor Swift couldn't get Brittany Mahomes a babyface run. She's still despised by everybody. Yeah, I'm not cool with that. I really am not. I mean, I wouldn't be cool with that with any reason, by the way. Tor, it's like, you know, Aaron Rodgers wants to be, or Tom Brady, whoever you think Pat Mahomes wants to be with his family. He's got a fucking baby on the way. We're going to try to make sure we get him a home game. None of that shit. The only thing that should matter is the matchup on the field. And I guess the problem is that's still a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
Still want to see that.
Mike North, the NFL's vice president of broadcast.
I'm a friend of his cousin Peter. I watch his films quite a bit.
He said we...
Oh, boy. Shoots big ropes.
Talented guy.
Football show.
Mike North stated, we certainly consider the tour dates that hit NFL stadiums.
Every date for you is a tour date.
I think she's in Miami, maybe New Orleans, Indy. We certainly considered those. One thing we didn't consider, I saw a lot of conspiracy theorists talking about Kansas City at Buffalo in the middle of the season.
I don't think Dan Patrick is a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. He said that one definitely did not hit our radar screen. Okay.
Maybe it didn't hit his.
Hit somebody.
Is he the only one doing it? Is there an intern? Is there somebody they say, you don't think the NFL has somebody they said, get Taylor Swift's fucking schedule in front of us while we're making our schedule?
Yeah,
you don't think it's possible that happened?
This is coming from the vice president, not the president of broadcast planning.
Go to your boss and ask him, Josh.
Fucking idiot. Give it a statement.
Fuck, go give him a cup of Sanka, extra hot, two sugars, you fucking Josh. I'm so tired of Taylor Swift. Either retire or you two break up. That's what I'm rooting for, unfortunately. Misery. That's the letter of the day. Tua Tagovailoa Gigantor was absent for most of the start of the Dolphins offseason program. But as we are recording this, he showed up for work. Dolphins had their organized team activities begin today. The next phase of their offseason program. And Diana Rossini, who I didn't know was with The Athletic now, has reported that he is there. Tagovailoa said he would be there, but he had missed a bunch of stuff up until this point, some drills, some off-season activities. The question is whether or not the team and the player are on the same page. It wouldn't sound like necessarily they are, but, you know, go back to that Any Given Sunday speech Al Pacino gives. You're a goddamn quarterback. You're a leader of men. You got to be out there. He is guaranteed a base salary of $23.17 million this season. That ain't chicken feed, but... can you imagine the phones of the agents and the quarterbacks that went off after Jared Goff signed his deal? We'll see how much they're willing to do as far as a voluntary workout. I saw some reports right before the show they're getting closer on a deal. But what's Tua Tagovailoa worth, Tor, really? And what do you think he's worth to the Miami Dolphins? Because that's the way we broke it down for Jared Goff.
He's worth a franchise tag right now. Maybe for another year.
Yeah.
Because... everything that I've seen has been, wow, this might be the year, man. Tua's putting it together. Miami looks really good. And then Tua's starting to get a little bit dinged up. They're still winning, but they dropped a weird one. And then the end of the year, it's, okay, well, they're going to be back in Miami.
Do you Kirk Cousins' ass? Do you just keep tagging him? Again, just giving him whatever it is, $40 million, $42 million?
I think I keep tagging him until he takes me to the AFC Championship game.
See, here's the problem. I'm no expert. I like football. I've watched it my whole life. But Tua completely embodies the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Their coach, the market. Miami's beautiful. Weather's beautiful. Lot to like about it. But it's Miami. No one is there for football. No one. And now not even at the University of Miami. He's good enough to go out there and throw for 300, a couple touchdowns. And as long as Tyreek Hill's there and Jalen Waddle's there and Odell Beckham's there, like, they're going to be a fun team to watch. Who in the fuck... who would pick them to go on the road in the winter and win a playoff game?
Nobody.
And I'm talking about if they've got to go to Cincinnati, if they've got to go to Cleveland, if they've got to go to Pittsburgh.
Baltimore.
Any of those teams. Well, Baltimore is one of the best teams.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, who's somebody you think that – would you think they go on the road and beat Houston? I wouldn't pick Miami in that game.
No, I wouldn't.
Even though it's warm weather, even though it's, you know, retractable roof.
They don't feel playoff tough. They have good defensive backfields every time. They have a linebacker that flies around, that makes plays. He gets 120 tackles. I don't think they have a true game changer on defense, that a T.J. Watt that can make up and really play full both sides of the ball football. Their offense can play football. Their defense doesn't win them games.
I don't want to... thumb my nose at the ability to drop 50. I mean, there's just teams where you could give them...
they did some things last year that were remarkable.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. I mean, I'm a Titans fan, but you could give them eight seasons, they're not going to drop 50 points. And that the Dolphins are capable of doing it every week. So, like, that is something that deserves a modicum of respect. But if you know that your quarterback is going to struggle to stay healthy and you know that there is a limit to his ceiling, I don't know that you want to give him – you're not going to be able to pay these wide receivers that you have.
Yeah, but then how do you – that's a tough conversation to have. It's like, hey, you want to get realistic for me real quick in the GM room talking to the quarterback? Where's it been at? Do you think you're due for $50 million a year? He's going to have to say yes. He's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, because you can't set the market back for the rest of the guys and all that stupid fucking behind-the-scenes cabal of quarterback shit. But no, he's not. I think no. If you got some truth serum in him, he'd tell you that he's not.
He'll say, I'll win games for you.
Could Gardner Minshew quarterback that Dolphins team with that scheme and put up 30?
Yes.
Of course he could. So I don't know. Is he worth that? How much more is he worth than Gardner Minshew? I don't know. Feels like we're being disrespectful because there is a level of accomplishment when you get to the league and you transition. And remember the injuries he had coming out of college tour. There are people that thought that he'd never get this far.
And his big wins against, like, Buffalo. Like, they had great, gritty, Tua clutch-up wins. But Buffalo, we've seen, is a bit of a paper tiger.
And they also got him early, usually.
Yeah, when it's all hot and in Miami and the Buffalo players are cramping.
And they would get Miami's always done that. Yeah. I mean, Miami would get New England once a year when New England was at the height of their powers. What?
Soprano year. The I saw a good.
His name is not Tony Soprano.
Sperano. Sperano.
I believe he passed away. You know, Orgy was, by the way, speaking of passed away, Orgy was just dead asleep. Our audience, Orgy Beard, completely asleep in the front row.
Come on, OB.
Obi's my guy, too.
Told you he was on one today.
He really is.
He did not. He came up and he said, I'm going to make today about me.
He is hitting all the right notes for epic Orgy Beard performance.
The Commanders continue to try to hit the right notes. It wouldn't be news for many other organizations, but they are hiring another executive this time from the Detroit Lions, Brandon Sosna, to become the Senior Vice President of Football Operations. It's not a bad... Pulling executives from the 49ers and the Lions. It's not a dumb thing to do.
But creating fancy titles? Keep telling me it's just Dan Snyder. That's not something they did? That's not something they've done for 25 years? Okay.
He oversees the strategic planning and management of the salary cap as the team's primary contract negotiator.
Look, they're trying to transform a front office. I understand that. Tor's right. Pulling from franchises that have done it recently is not a terrible idea. But you got to show me. Rubber's got to meet the road.
Yeah.
And the year one of the experiment was exactly the same as all of the other. Maybe it's this year. You got your young quarterback. You got some nice skill position players.
You don't have Ron Rivera sulking on the sidelines.
Yeah. Chase Young, to me, is the embodiment of everything that is the Commanders. Looks cool, great name, big time reputation, completely falls flat. That's you're getting rid of that. I understand. And that takes time.
He's gonna have a big year for the Saints. Just you wait.
I took calls. Dozens and dozens of calls, Tor, from people angry that you would even ask, would you trade Chase Young for Justin Herbert right now? Dozens of them. Not even should it be a conversation. Pissed that the fucking question was asked. Yikes.
Should have known after year one.
I should have been having those fucking guys write down the phone numbers and calling these assholes back 3 fucking years later. What about now, hey. Shithead? You were coming on pretty strong back then.
There's a bit right there.
Yeah. It's a good bit. Look, God bless them. I mean, there's a bunch of... People want to talk about with the Timberwolves tour. They want to talk about the championship drought in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I know the Nationals won the World Series. I know the Capitals won a Stanley Cup. I don't mean any disrespect when I say that's pissing down the side of your leg to what would happen if Washington won a Super Bowl.
The Wizards are never going to win the NFL or NBA championship.
They should be regulated. I mean, seriously, send them down to the WNBA.
They will never win it, and that is what it is. Okay, I know DC needs a basketball team. Not really, but... I get the optics.
Well, they need Georgetown to be good.
Yeah.
That's what they need. They're like Georgia. No disrespect to her. They don't need the Falcons to be good. They need the Bulldogs to be good.
Yes.
That's what they need.
The Bulldogs have been good.
Huh?
And the Bulldogs have
had some success, yes. All right, round of Halloran is a couple of you. I just wanted to mention this, Tor, because I worked with LeVar Arrington for, what was it, 5 or 6 years. He never signed with the union.
Yeah.
With the marketing deal, so he was never in Madden. It was crazy. I remember, you know, before I knew him, playing as the Redskins in Madden football because that was my team, and number 56 was on the sideline, and he was always really good, but I was like, huh, I wonder why LeVar isn't in this game.
Oh, it's like guy player. Like Barry Bonds didn't join the MLB one.
A player. Yeah. And I understand the thought process of, fuck these people, I want to make my own money, why am I giving up this semblance of control? And I understand the thought, but while you're doing it, you are just burning money. And Marvin Harrison Jr. and Marvin Harrison Sr. seem to be excited about that. I've been reading about this. Apparently, Fanatics is suing Marvin Harrison Jr. And by the way, he's suing Marvin Harrison Jr., not his LLC and not his dad, which I thought was interesting, for a breach of contract. They're saying they did have a contract. The player is saying they didn't. He has a website up right now, Tor, that you can go to. I think it's called like the Harrison Project or something. It's him and his dad. It's jerseys and footballs and helmets, and it says right on the site this is the only place to get it. Fanatics is saying this is all bullshit. Something happened, and they just decided they didn't want to have it, this deal anymore. And so now there's a lawsuit. It is the first time it's ever happened. It's the first time Fanatics has ever had to do it. They seem to be rather bamboozled. So I don't know. The thing that's going to make this tricky is that Marvin Harrison Jr. was apparently living up to the parameters of this contract that he and his father are saying they don't have for at least a year. He was doing everything that Fanatics asked and signing shit and doing whatever it is you got to do when you work with Fanatics. And then all of a sudden it's, not only are we not doing it, we never signed that motherfucker. We don't have a deal with you guys. So it's going to be messy. I can't imagine this isn't coming from the dad, some bad experience that he had.
Yeah.
And no disrespect, Marvin Harrison's one of those guys. Peyton Manning to Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning to Dallas Clark, Peyton Manning handing off to Edgerrin James. That's just like, that was the height of fucking watching football back when I was really into watching football.
It's a good team.
Really good team. That was before Reggie Wayne. It's for all the guys. I remember.
Oh, they had some good teams.
Joseph Addai. If you think about all the guys that came out of there, just had monster fucking seasons.
Defense is nasty.
You remember Marshall Faulk was there? That's where he was before the greatest show on turf. So, this sounds like old hurt from Pops. I'm speculating. Games changed. I mean, think about just the sporting card industry now, Tor, compared to then. And Fanatics runs that whole game. So he's missing out on a lot to make whatever this stand is. And here's what I'm guessing is, you have to give us 50% of everything that you fucking sign because we're doing all the work. They don't like those terms, so they're doing their own thing. Problem is, I just don't know if they sign something and it can be proven in a court. I just don't know. And then retroactively, they're going to have to give up money to this company and they're missing out. God forbid Marvin Harrison Jr. goes out there and busts his fucking knee up in training camp, or God forbid he's Desmond Howard. Shit happens.
Yeah.
Did you miss out on striking while the iron is hot? So, and also, the shit he's got on the website, he can't sell any Cardinals shit right now. So he's got blank helmets. He's selling blank helmets that he signed. Which, who wants that?
Do you follow Clint Eastwood on Twitter?
The actor?
Yes.
I didn't know he was on Twitter.
Clint Eastwood official at RealTheClint.
What the fuck?
I know. But what
I'm a fan of his films.
But what these tweets are, every tweet, it's a photo of Clint, and like this last one, wishing a happy 56th birthday to my son Kyle. Picture Clint, his son, and then all over the picture is like Clint Eastwood archive registry, legal, Foundry Music logo everywhere.
Of course. Steve C works for Clint Eastwood.
Is this what Marvin Harrison Jr. is trying to do?
Well, yeah, I saw him.
Look at me in my sweet game with all this documentation around it.
I think that he would take that stuff off when he sends you the actual picture. But yeah, I assume that's what he's doing to try to stop it. There's a level of paranoia that seems to be going on for Clint and for Marvin Harrison Jr. At least it seems to be that way. I hope he makes a big look. What I hope for all these guys is makes a giant big pile of fucking money because this is a fleeting sport and that's what you got
to
do.
I hope every receiver that comes to the NFL is a star.
Yeah.
It's an exciting position.
Better to watch football that way, better for fantasy, better for them, better for everybody. All right, Tor, is Ryan coming on with us?
He is.
The great Ryan O'Halloran from the Buffalo News joins us next on Both Types of Sports.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
It is Both Types of Sports, podcast about the NFL and the NFL offseason. I am Chad Dukes. That is Gigantor. And joining us on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline, old friend of the show, he's covered the Jaguars, covered the Broncos, covered the Commanders. He now covers the Buffalo Bills for the Buffalo News, buffalonews.com. Mr. Ryan O'Halloran joins us on the program. Hello, Ryan. How are you, buddy?
Chad, I'm good. Good to join you again.
Man, it's fun to talk football this time of year because anything is possible. The speculation is running rampant. But before we get to, there's a plethora of issues here and different statements that have been made in the news regarding the team you cover. Does it feel like the, I don't want to call the offseason a punt because this isn't a team that's punting when you've got that quarterback and that home field advantage and, you know, what you've built up in that division, that your expectations are always going to be high. But with the exodus of Stephon Diggs and then the trade that went down where you hand the Chiefs the best, you know, the fastest weapon. And I don't know. Capitulation is not the word that I would look at from the outside looking in, but it certainly seems like perhaps the Bills are reevaluating where they stack up in the upper echelon of the AFC. How has this offseason been digested in that market?
Let's divide the offseason into two parts. The first one would be the roster cuts in early March, followed by the, you know, let's say the tepid involvement in free agency. You know, the Bills sort of set their fan base up for this. They knew that last year they were going for it one more time with that core. You know, I wrote that the pain of March 2024 was apparent in March 2023. They knew they had to reset their cap. They knew they'd have to get rid of some veterans who are still playing well. That they hoped to do that coming off a Super Bowl appearance, which would have eased the pain. They did. They lost to the Chiefs again. So that part wasn't totally unexpected in terms of releasing guys. The Diggs trade did come as a surprise because it was April, not beginning of March, where you free up that money, then you can be more active in free agency. And, you know, then they're sitting at 28 in that draft. I think we communicated on draft night, Chad. If I'm the Bills GM, I do not negotiate with the Chiefs or anybody in my division. I was yelled down on that, not surprisingly, by, you know, other Bills media. But they feel they got the receiver at 33 and Keon Coleman that they wanted at 28.
That's fine. And speaking of Keon Coleman, I was reading a piece by Pro Football Talk about how basically point blank saying this is not a replacement for Stephon Diggs, that he doesn't have the same skill set. And then you look at it's Chase Claypool. You give him Diggs' number. MVS is brought in. Underwhelming to say the least since not playing with Aaron Rodgers. I know Dalton Kincaid is still there. You still got the tight ends. But as far as weapons for Josh Allen, there's two types of quarterbacks. There's Aaron Rodgers in his prime. There's Pat Mahomes. There's Tom Brady, where there's a guy that's good enough to, hey, we're going to elevate everybody around us because the quarterback's so damn good. I think the Cowboys are trying to figure out if Dak Prescott's that guy this season. It looks like we're going to find out if Josh Allen is that guy, because they have not sufficiently replaced what they have lost in Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, I think, in most people's opinion.
Yeah, and you throw in Curtis Samuel, who's obviously familiar to Washington listeners. I do think Samuel is the kind of guy that will be elevated by Allen. Keon Coleman, there is a transition for a rookie. He's not a burn it. But they have 13 receivers on a contract. 6 are going to make this team. They're throwing a lot of darts at the board right now, but this offense goes through Dalton Kincaid at the tight end position. It did over the last 6 weeks of 2023. So they are counting on the quarterback raising the level, see what Curtis Samuel can bring. MVS is a 1-year deal. Claypool, if you get anything out of him, it's a bonus. Khalil Shakir returns for his third season. He was probably Allen's favorite targeted receiver down the stretch last year. So I do think they have some decent talent. They're just not as well known or as loud as Stephon Diggs.
How much of the Chiefs of last year with the wide receiver core that they trotted out there onto the field? Hey, they won a championship. We can do it too. I bet that argument's going to be made a lot. The difference being is, do you have the generational quarterback that the Chiefs do? We know there's a good quarterback, but do you believe Josh Allen? It's cool that Jordan Poyer signs with a division rival and comes out in the media and puts over Josh Allen while he's a member of the Dolphins. But do you have that level of faith in him as a quarterback?
I think you should, because I think he's a brilliant player. He is durable, makes all the plays. He made a couple of plays in that Chiefs playoff game where we're world class. I don't think they were shaping their philosophy at receiver based off what Kansas City did, because they are different quarterbacks, and Chiefs have a Hall of Fame tight end. The Bills do not have a Hall of Fame skill position player right now. So it's they're going to be compared to each other, or more accurately, the Bills are going to be compared to what the Chiefs do until they can beat them in the playoffs. But I do think the Bills are still the favorite in the AFC East, because the Jets, you just don't know. Quarterback in his 40s coming off an Achilles, and Miami had to get rid of a lot of guys as well. I'm not sure how Miami's going to really stop a lot of people this year.
Ryan, you've seen New England have the premier quarterback for a lot of time in the 2000s, and now the shoe is on the other foot in Buffalo as the premier quarterback, and New England continues to kind of hit that reset button. Do you think that they should start with Drake May to open up the season, or rely on a veteran stopgap and let Drake May develop?
Yeah, I would go with Brissett, because the Patriots have so many other questions on offense up front, at receiver, at tight end. Is I think you were setting May up to fail and also risk injury. Brissett probably is more well versed on how to get out of trouble, how to wait for another down. The Patriots are not in position to compete for the playoffs this year, so get the kid ready. It's always going to be sooner rather than later. And all this crap the team say, well, we want him to watch for a year. Well, that worked in one scenario when Alex Smith was still in his prime and Patrick Mahomes was the backup. It doesn't work anywhere else. So I would give Brissett the keys early on, but also treat practices like maybe it's a 50-50 snap distribution, as unheard of as that is.
Ryan, Taylor Rapp and Mike Edwards are assigned to this team. Cole Bishop gets drafted. I heard he's impressing early there. I would assume this is setting up for DeMar Hamlin to be cut by the Buffalo Bills, and it's a business and things happen, but do we know, does he want to continue his playing career? It would be one thing, it's like, hey, we've got it all. We got a position for you here in the front office, or you're going to be a coaching staff, whatever it's going to be. Clearly, he's an impressive dude. He's a likable guy, and he's got this unbelievable story that is intertwined with the fabric, I assume, of that fan base to go along with just how big of a story it was in the NFL, his injury and then recovery. If that's going to happen, do you go about that differently? Is it a full-page ad in the paper? I can't even imagine beginning to try to tackle that from a PR perspective.
Well, I think this year it's an easy decision. Last year would have been the tough PR decision. This year he's not good enough. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have – if I drew up my 53 right now, I would not have him on the roster. They did not trust him to play defense or special teams last year. That's why he was inactive. It had nothing to do with his condition, as some of the media was saying. He just needs more time. No, he was right. He played the preseason. He just fell down the depth chart. And I think the Bills are not done at adding that safety. I think they should make a play for Justin Simmons after June 1st when they have some cap space open up. Because right now their starters are, you know, Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards, and Kalyr Rapp. That's not Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. So I think it's I think Hamlin has a tall mountain to climb to make this team.
Speaking of mountains to climb, Frank Gore Jr. had some comments, and you know, running back is such a weird position because sometimes they get paid, sometimes they don't. They got paid this offseason. It was about 5 years before they did. We can see the impact they can still make. It's crazy that I was reading his quotes the same day I was reading about David Johnson retiring. I'm like, all right, that guy was the best player in the league for a little bit of time, and I've forgotten that he existed. Running back is disrespected, to say the least, and this is a kid that was offensive MVP in the East-West Shrine, but we know what he did, over 4,000 yards in college. We know the lineage that he comes from. He doesn't get drafted and makes this team. I assume he's going to get asked about a lot. Does he have a chance to make that running back's room? I assume he'll have to play special teams. Like, what type of a project is he going to be in Buffalo?
He is a project, and what hurts him is 5'8", 5'8", 201. That's, I mean, you know, the height thing is, you know, can he stand up in pass protection in the NFL? You know, right now they got James Cook, they got Ty Johnson, they drafted Ray Davis from Kentucky in the fourth round. You know, I think Frank's goal should be, hey, I'm going to get a lot of carries in these three preseason games. Put some good tape out there to make this practice squad, or if another team gets banged up during camp, he can latch on somewhere else. But when you're an undrafted free agent, you got, you know, obviously the mangle is, okay, can you be one of those guys who makes the 53? If not, these expanded practice squads create a lot of opportunity. And if you're on a practice squad in week one, pretty good chance you're going to see some regular season action. Hmm.
Ryan, the last couple of years, the Bills have created a lot of excitement with their playoff runs. Josh Allen's a great talent. And on this show, we've talked about this window for them actually getting a Super Bowl. How open or closed do you think it could be now? Because I feel like it's closing pretty fast year after year, especially since they didn't get it done in 22 or 23. Do you think that this window is closing, or can it stay open for another year if Josh Allen keeps them afloat?
Well, I think as long as Josh Allen is healthy, the window is open. I think he's that good. You know, all the top quarterbacks are in the AFC. I put him right up there with Mahomes. I think Burrow's number one, Mahomes two, Allen in a 3-4 range. You know, the key thing is they have to draft well, and they have to go to the discount aisle of free agency and find some guys on one-year deals, because, you know, the cap's going up, but so will other guys' salaries. And so I think, you know, they have you know, core guys at each level. Like on defense, you have your Ed Oliver, Greg Rousseau, and Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Rasul Douglas at corner. You know, they got to hope that Cole Bishop, their second-round safety, can be that. And then offense, they got some guys. So I do think, you know, when you look at their roster and you look at the division, the window should be open.
All right. Speaking of quarterbacks in this division and windows, Tua shows up for minicamp. We were talking about this on the show earlier, and I guess he's been away from the building. There's been some voluntary stuff. He hasn't been around. He's got that base salary of about $23.17 million this season. And look, I'm happy for Jared Goff. I think my quote on this show was, Jared Goff is worth that much money to the Lions. I don't imagine he's worth that much money if he hits the open market. Quarterback is tricky. You got one or you don't, and if you got one, you can contend, and if you don't, you probably can't. I don't know what to think of the Bills. I mean, excuse me, the Dolphins, Bills too, but I don't know what to think of the Dolphins. I know I'd pay $50 to watch them play football, but I think that the book's out on them. When it gets cold and when you've got to play defense and run the football and go on the road, their coach isn't built that way. Their roster's not built that way. So Miami's a transient market. Do they sell games out there? I don't even know if they sell games out there with scoring all these points. I don't know what I would – I guess I'd pay him $35 million. He's worth $30 million. I don't know that I'd want to pay him – I can't believe I'm about to say this – Jared Goff money. It's just – it's Jared Goff money. What a fucking weird – so what – this is a weird – what do you think of the situation when you're evaluating these quarterbacks, Ryan? Because I got no problem giving Pat Mahomes $50 million a year. I got a big problem giving Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jared Goff $50 million a year.
And Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, so I had no problem giving Justin Herbert that money, because now he's at, you know, I think he's going to flourish with Harbaugh. But if you're Tua, You mentioned that $23 million salary this year is fully guaranteed. I mean, show up. You're the quarterback. You're the team leader. You know, let's say you don't have to go through the drills or whatever. Just be around. I've never really understood that as a negotiating ploy for a quarterback. But the Dolphins and the Bills played Week 18 Sunday night down in Miami. I want to say 40% Bills fans.
Of course.
And I mean, I remember the great quote from Micah Hyde in the Bills safety in the locker room. He goes, "Just like always down here, felt like home game," and he was right. So, you know, so it's that's the market they live in, they play in. But if I'm the Dolphins, I let Tua play out the year. They're not going to do it. They're going to cave. They're going to give them the money. But is is he good? So is he a guy that you would trust going into Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo in the playoffs and say he's going to be able to throw through the wind? I don't think so.
I wouldn't trust him in that scenario in November, much less in January. It seems disrespectful because they're cartoonish numbers, and that's hard to do. I feel like we sit here as guys that watch football sometimes, and a guy will go out there and throw for 350 yards and two touchdowns. They're like, "Rah, that's the system. The defense isn't allowed to." It's still a difficult thing to do in the NFL, but if you know it's not enough to get you to champion, I don't know. The Hawks were the fourth seed in the NBA for about a decade, and it seemed to be good enough for them. Maybe when you're in Miami, it's like, "Hey, we're good. We go to the playoffs. People are interested in us. We're at the top of the crawl on ESPN." Maybe your goals are just different than they are in Green Bay and San Francisco.
Yeah, because they were just irrelevant for so long. But they haven't won a division since 08 when Brady was hurt. And I'm trying to think when the last time they won a playoff game, maybe with Jimmy Johnson or Dave Wannstedt, something like that. So, I mean, they are paying a lot of guys a lot of money, and they have not produced the results in the playoffs yet. And so those contracts are going to get more painful as they go along. So if you're the Dolphins, okay, once you have to move off on some skill position players, can the quarterback be the guy to make lesser talent great? I don't think so, and that's why I've picked the Bills to win the division.
Ryan, you covered the Redskins in this town, now the Commanders, of course, for many years. You know what type of a sports market is this. And I'm trying to be as kind as I can. I've never been around a bigger group of mouth breathers that comes from, your quote-unquote passionate fan base. I sometimes miss being on the station, but when Dan Quinn walked out with a W with a feather on it and it became a five-day Pier 6 brawl for every – I was like, this is the dumbest market. There can't be a dumber market for sports because that's the only thing that people want to talk about. And I got what he wanted to do. Like, I'm all about bridging. There's a group of people that just wants to pretend like the 75 years of the Washington Redskins, whatever, 80 years, doesn't exist. There's another group that's even larger that hates the fact that they're the Commanders, but it's their team. They're going to suck it up. I understood what he was trying to do. Florio's acting like that he, called in a nuclear strike on a populated city. I can't imagine that story. I don't know. Is it just the scrutiny of the NFL, the fact that anything that happens and he's a head coach and he should know better? I guess I should ask, were you surprised that story was such a big deal?
Because it was Washington, I was not surprised, because here's the other major storyline of that week. The punter's jersey number.
Oh, my God.
I mean, can you imagine, Chad, back when – because me and Dan Daly, the former columnist Washington Times, we're emailing about this. Some things never change. Can you imagine back when you and Oscar were on the show and I was with the Washington Times? Could you imagine having me on and even asking me about that? No. It would be so stupid. And we'd only do it just to make fun of them. So, yeah. I mean, like Florio having a hard-on over that was kind of interesting. But it's just like, okay, let's talk about the quarterback. Let's talk about all the new players you signed. So it's – and, the most hilarious part, one thing on the Commanders is where they have, one primetime game.
Yeah. I mean, do you trust them to be in primetime?
No. And, even back in the day when you knew there'd be, 8-8 or 7-9 or 6-10, they always played 4 primetime games. They always had the Cowboys at FedEx at night. And, they'd always play the Eagles on a Monday night. But they're just irrelevant. And it's – it's when you're just mismanaged for 25 years, that tends to happen.
And it's not like I understand the Patriots not getting any primetime games. They don't have any stars. They're starting. They have a quarterback that needs 2 years in the slow cooker. Jaden Daniels is the guy that's like, hey, insert him. He's ready to go. He's going to make plays with his legs. He's going to throw the football. And it still didn't move the needle at all. I wanted to ask you about the Chargers. I don't believe it's – I think we have too much time to talk about the offseason, which is wild considering that that's all we do every week on this show. But I think that the scheduling stuff – I love Warren Sharp. I think he's super smart. But Jesus Christ, does he put the tinfoil hat to Jesse Ventura on when it comes to strength of schedule? The one that sticks out is the Los Angeles Chargers are tied for 27th in the league, and they got a cotton soft beginning of the schedule. I think the NFL knows that Jim Harbaugh's a lightning rod. They know that he's good for business, and they know that eventually that team is going to win football games in market number two. It would not surprise me as when they were stirring up the Kool-Aid, they said, hey, let's try to maneuver this thing, because they get to choose when, not who they play. I understand that, but it just looks like to me that he's getting a bit of a nod and a wink at the beginning of the season to try to get him off on a healthy foot.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their schedule at Las Vegas, home to the Raiders, they should win. At Carolina, they should win. At Pittsburgh, they should win. Yeah. That means you're 3-0 coming home to the Chiefs. Let's, regardless of that game, then you got Broncos, Cardinals, Saints. So, I mean, you're setting up to be, 5-1?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think they're going to be the most improved team in the league because I just think he's that good of a motivator, that good of a coach. But, a good Chargers, I mean, the Chargers don't even matter in L.A., but they want to give it a shot, so they got to be good. So that's an interesting team for me to watch this year. One last thing, if you don't mind, on Jaden Daniels is – it's great that they're starting him right away, but you watch that Florida State game last year with LSU. He got broken in half. He got broken in half like 12 times in that game. So that's the key for Washington, capitalize on his quarterback. Don't break the quarterback in half.
Yeah, because they've never done that before. They didn't do that before in 2012. The guy with a similar build that could run the football and throw the football. I mean, it is wild to see the parallels between the two. I know they're two different players, two different eras, I understand. But it's just crazy being there in that maelstrom talking about that bullshit every day. Go ahead, Tor, I'm sorry.
Ryan, 2000, the year the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game. A different point here. Stephon Diggs, pretty polarizing wide receiver. Do you think he continues to thrive in Houston? I mean, I'm a big C.J. Stroud guy. I became a believer pretty quickly. Do you think he eclipses 1,000 and 10 touchdowns, or is it – time that he takes more of a veteran wide receiver two role?
Well, he's going to be a good soldier because he's on a 1-year contract. He redid the deal when he got traded. He's never in his Bills time. He never showed up for the offseason program. So let's see if he does that with Houston for the OTAs and stuff. He's a player in decline. He's not going to get 10 touchdowns. Maybe he squeaks 1,000 yards, but right now, like you look at their depth chart, Nico Collins is the one. And so how is Diggs going to react to that? Dalton Schultz, the pretty good tight end, he's going to get his touches. So it's going to be interesting to see Diggs, what his approach is if there's a game where he gets 3 targets and 2 catches for 8 yards. Will he brood? Will he be, hey, at least we won the game? So I think that is an interesting subplot is – I'm going to use the term. You're saddling Stephon Diggs with a second-year quarterback. I'm not sure if that was smart business.
Yeah, just from he tends to get irritated very easily, which I can relate to. I was laughing earlier today. There was a I hate NFL Twitter. It makes me want to puke. And I hate the fact that people have created these little fiefdoms for themselves on there. But there was a picture, I guess they were doing some sort of photo shoot with all the top draft picks. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams is walking up to a group, and Jaden Daniels is standing there. And from the perspective, Jaden Daniels looks like Dante Culpepper compared to Caleb Williams. So the comments like, I knew Caleb Williams was bullshit. This one's going to be hit. He's Ryan Leaf. It's like, you people are insane. Like, these are nutty people that because they're on social media constantly tweeting about a topic, they create themselves a fiefdom. It's a dirty world we live in when it comes to football, Ryan. It really is.
Yeah, and we're in the season of overreactions. I mean, you're right about these rookie camps. Hey, player A looked good. Well, here's what a rookie camp practice looked like here in Buffalo. the first 20 minutes, they're teaching these kids how to stretch. this is where we line up for pregame stretching. Then it was one-on-one drills and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, to me, and, you know, covering Mike Shanahan for 2 years had some redeeming value. One thing he said that I'll remember, he goes, running back, safeties, linemen, linebackers, he goes, don't even pay attention to them until they put the pads on training camp. And so to me, once you get to the 1st of August, then you can start making some snap judgments. Right now, it's just like everybody just needs to, you know, fill the airwaves, fill the paper, that kind of stuff.
It's like when the WWE signs somebody that's a superstar in Japan or in Europe or someplace, and they have to bring them over and teach them how to wrestle the quote-unquote WWE way, because we don't want you to get injured. It's not about strong style. You're going to be on television. You need to be able to mask these things. I think that's what happens with the pros. Like, you draft a kid from the Sun Belt Conference, and it's like, okay, things were taught differently than they are here in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, and everything about – and really to dig into the weeds right now is – You know the techniques, the plays you're having to learn. It is really a different game when you're not coming from one of those blue bloods.
Yeah, what did you think of the Giants' centennial uniforms?
Well, they're almost so bad I can't wait to watch them. So I mean, it's you know, it's one of those things where they're sitting in a conference room and I wonder what they thought was a bad idea, but. I mean, it's fine. I mean, that's the way the NFL is going when they had to freaking have meetings to pass rules on alternate helmets. I mean, basically that's where we're going now, is every team with an anniversary is going to be trotting it out. So, fine.
It just, I hate to keep going back to it, but the second those powder blue Oilers uniforms got dusted off, everyone should have said, okay, how close can we get to that? It shouldn't be, let's just bukkake our team colors, although, I mean, they just look horrifically embarrassing, and it's also celebrating your 100th year, and it's a garbage franchise. All right. It's at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Go ahead and follow him there. Of course, BuffaloNews.com senior writer. Ryan, thank you so much for the time, as always, my friend.
All right, fellas, take care now.
That was Ryan O'Halloran on Both Types of Sports.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend.